Rodney King in Los Angeles, 1991. Abner Louima in New York, 1997. Amadou Diallo in New York, 1999. Sean Bell in New York, 2006. Oscar Grant, Oakland, California, 2009. Eric Garner, New York City, 2014. Michael Brown, Missouri, 2014. Laquan McDonald, Chicago, 2014. Freddie Gray, Baltimore, 2015. Antoine Rose, Pittsburgh, 2018. Ahmad Aubrey in Georgia, 2020. Breonna Taylor in Kentucky, 2020. George Floyd in Minneapolis, 2020. That's why the outrage. That's why the frustration and the anger. It is not about one situation. It's about the same situation happening again and again and again and again.
Listeners, that was Andrew Cuomo speaking on the protests happening in New York City, speaking very poignantly about it. And welcome to the show. I'm Ernesto Mancebo.
And I'm Pablo Morale Martinez. And you're listening to the Robots vs. Taxes program.
On Radio Free Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to start by just hoping that all of our listeners are doing well, that you're safe, not just from the still ongoing pandemic. It can be easy to forget that we're still dealing with that. But we're also dealing with a great deal of civil unrest in this country and really around the world when you take a broader look, because our allies across the globe are protesting in their respective countries because it is a, I think the world recognizes that there's a great injustice happening in America and across the world, and people are tired of it. So just wishing you guys well. I hope that you're taking care of yourselves physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. But if we have to kick off from any particular point, let's start off from the very beginning of the week in a little incident that happened in Central Park.
Ah, yes. The Tale of Two Coopers, which kind of wrote... kind of set the tone for what was to come with regards to race relations and civil unrest going on in our country right now. So
it's like if the pandemic was a Marvel movie, what happened in Central Park was the stinger at the end, right before Infinity War came out. So
yeah, that was the sign, right? That was the sign.
It really was. It really was. Had to throw a little robots in there.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll try to do that, guys, where appropriate during this podcast. But
yeah, it's going to be, for those of you waiting to listen to us pit Guardians of the Galaxy versus Killer Clowns from Outer Space, that one is going to be pushed to next week.
Yes.
Sorry, but there are just things that are just more important going on right now, and... And we'll resume all that talk later on down the line. But for right now, Ernesto, do you want to explain that whole situation that happened in Central Park?
Sure. So, on a basic level, Christian Cooper, a African American man, was bird watching in Central Park on the between 7 and 8 a.m. This past Monday. He makes a habit of this, and the area of Central Park where he was bird watching is a hot spot for bird watchers. I would imagine that, especially during times like these, speaking of the pandemic in particular, you take your little excursions and moments of peace when you can. Of course, Central Park being a very large area for pedestrian traffic, there are certain rules for certain areas delineated for certain activities like dog parks or public events and things along those lines. And with those designations come a certain set of rules just to keep the park in good working order, keep it nice, so that people can enjoy those designated activities. Soon after Christian Cooper was bird watching in that particular area, a woman, a white woman, by the name of Amy Cooper, just to be clear, there is no relation between these two. It's just some weird name coincidence. It's like, you know, running into another Smith in America. So Christian Cooper politely asks Amy to put her dog on a leash, who was sort of running around in the area. And it is the rule of this particular area that all dogs have to be on leashes to keep from, you know, damaging whatever foliage is in that immediate area and whatnot. And also to probably to keep from scaring any birds that are being observed by their respective watchers. So Amy Cooper replies that that she can't do that, and Christian suggests that, you know, there's a adjacent area of the park nearby where the dog would be allowed to run off of its leash. And she said, well, that's too close to what she deemed to be a dangerous area, maybe a high traffic area or something along those lines. So at this point, she's choosing to just blatantly flout the rules. So at that point, Christian Cooper, he starts to record and say, hey, look, these are the rules. If you're not going to follow the rules, then, you know, I'm basically going to have to do something that you may not like. And when he said that, he was referring to pulling out dog treats to sort of get the attention of the dog. The thing that most people, I'm not a dog owner, but most people who are dog owners talk about in regards to dog etiquette that they don't like is random people feeding their dogs. You know, it sort of breaks a certain discipline and expectation that they've set up with their dog. Which is understandable, but I also feel it was a valid tactic to get somebody to follow the rules who's just blatantly not following them.
Yeah, just to interject really quick here, all of this is played super diplomatically, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Christian Cooper voices his problem, you know, she responds like, basically politely telling him, like, I'm not going to, just saying, I'm not going to do anything that you're asking me for. Mm-hmm. And then he's just like, well, if you're going to do that, then I'm going to have to, like, do something that might irk you as well. You know, all this whole exchange to me is like, it's like Christian Cooper is like, please just be polite. That's all mm-hmm. I'm asking. And she refuses. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, whatever happened from there, you can go on and
oh yeah. Oh say, yeah. Well, he's basically recording her, and she is approaching him very aggressively saying, don't record me, sir. Don't record me. And he tells her, he's just like, stay away from me, ma'am. Like, don't come any closer. Please don't come any closer. And she pulls out her phone and she says, I'm going to call the police and tell them that an African American is threatening me, which is a complete fabrication of the events that were happening right there. Meanwhile, as she's starting to drum up the drama of the situation, which is all caught on a cell phone camera. It's very easy to find if you haven't seen it yet. While she's drumming up this drama, she is yanking her dog around by its collar, not a leash, by its collar. And this dog is choking. You can literally see it in distress. At some point it basically fights her so that it can breathe.
Yeah. I at that point, like, I remember just in the video, like, I heard it yelp, and I was just like, oh, shit, that dog is in, its eyes went wide, and it yelped. It was just like, oh, my God, she's just, like, yanking this dog around like a rag doll.
Like, we were almost witness to, like, a doggy snuff film. That's how... and you know, it sounds funny, but like there, it's not too far off the mark, because you could tell there's nobody, literally nobody. And it's a shame that we're not debating that. This is the only thing that is not being debated. Nobody's debating that this dog was in great distress, you know,
of course.
All the other details. Oh, you know, maybe he was threatening her. I've heard people say, like, wouldn't you think that somebody was trying to poison your dog? In broad daylight in Central Park?
Yeah,
no.
I know. Like, like he just like that's such a leap to be, it's, like, you know what? I'm just gonna fucking kill your dog.
Exactly. So, but you know, it's believable because of totally. It's believable because of only one particular detail. It's like you can ascribe this scary black man of capable of anything, you know. It's like those people, they'll just do anything. So she calls the police, and she is getting super dramatic talking to them about, you know, oh, there's a black man threatening me, please send the cops. And then at some point, Christian Cooper sees that she put the leash on the dog. That's what he was waiting on. And he goes, thank you, and then walks away. He then has a discussion with his sister about the incident, who I believe had a great part in posting the video online. And it instantly went viral. Like, it just went all around every single network that you can imagine, and rightly so, because it was so blatantly racist that she not only told Christian Cooper, I'm going to tell the police an African American is threatening me. She knew that she was weaponizing her whiteness. She knew that she was taking advantage of the tension and the systemic racism that exists in American policing. She knew this. And she, as far as I'm concerned, she was purposefully and blatantly putting Christian Cooper's life in danger because she didn't want to follow the rules of the park and was asked politely on multiple occasions.
And it eventually led to her being fired from her job.
At first, she was suspended. She's like a director at an investment firm or something along those lines. So good salary. I've read that she was making over $600K a year. So. First, she was suspended, and then she voluntarily surrendered her dog to the rescue shelter that she adopted it from. And then not soon after, her employer took to Twitter and announced that they don't stand for racism and that she's been fired.
Yeah. To which, like, a lot of I saw some people on social media respond to that with, like, oh, she shouldn't have been fired and this and that. And to which I'm just like, you know what? No, that's fine. That's good that she got fired. I'm glad. Because it's like racism like that can't the time for, like, being like, oh, you know, just you know, I forgive you and this and that. That time is over. Mm. It has been over for decades because people of color should not be educating white people anymore on the great sin that is racism. Now it's just, it shouldn't be tolerated. And if they lose their job, yeah, that's the price you pay. Welcome. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the new world, you know? because it's fucking, it's bullshit that people are just like, oh, well, shouldn't have lost a job. No. Like, that'll teach you not to do it again. Don't do it again.
At least it will give you a moment of pause, because I don't feel that she has really learned her lesson. She's made the requisite apology since then, but her apology was littered with a certain amount of language that almost tries to absolve herself of her actions. She's just like, well, you know, his language was threatening. It's just like, no. His initial language toward you was nothing but polite, and on top of all of that, correct. He was completely in the right to ask you to put your dog on a leash, and you refused. And so after that, everything was just your fault because you escalated the situation. If you felt if you honestly felt threatened, and you were going to call the police and say you felt threatened, we obviously see you on the video moving toward this person that you deem a threat. People don't do that. If you feel threatened, you don't walk toward the point of the threat. You were trying to antagonize him. You were trying to threaten him.
I mean, like, this is it's weaponizing the white woman, you know, sympathy. From our current society. And, you know, I'm reminded of Emmett Till. How many times have we heard this story, right? A white woman clutches her pearls, makes an accusation, boom, a black man is dead. You know, and with regards to that that apology that she issued, she started off by saying, like, I'm not a racist.
which is like the ancient white proverb of all racists, you know?
Yeah, it's like ancient Karens say, I'm not a racist, you know?
Which is immediately,
you know, it's written in stone tablet, you know, with a blonde wig over the tablet in that haircut that, you know that what the haircut looks like.
Oh, yeah.
It's the I'll speak to your manager haircut.
That's what it should be called. It's such a signature. Like, it's essentially ruined for everybody else, you know, like.
God, the response from that was kind of amazing to me. I can't believe that, you know, the response that she got from that the video got, like, it became viral, and then, you know, it's kind of been like you measure the whole civil unrest that's been happening now in degrees, right? There was Ahmaud Arbery.
Yes.
There was Breonna Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Then this kicks it up a notch, because then you see how Mr. Christian Cooper, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a scenario, there's an alternate history where he could have ended up dead by the cops. Easily.
Oh, yeah.
And people know that. People know that because, you know, as soon as she's like, an African-American is assaulting me. Like, how many stories like that have happened before? So, and then, which leads us up to now.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Not even.
This is the real tough one.
This is. I'm sure anybody who's listening right now is fully aware of what's going on, but if not, the country has erupted in large protests, many of which have become violent and destructive, and I definitely want to speak to that in a moment. But the situation that sparked it off, George Floyd was accused of having a counterfeit $20 bill that he was trying to use at some establishment in Minneapolis. When the establishment didn't accept the bill, he, you know, he didn't make a fuss about it. He stepped outside, you know, probably just wondering like, how did I get possession of this, you know, counterfeit 20 or whatever. And the cops show up and they arrest him, you know, and try to question him about it. He can be seen on the video kind of flabbergasted about it because it's just like, you can tell he didn't go into that store with the intention of trying to pass this off. I mean, anybody, any counterfeiter, and this is just me speaking, you know, I'm not any sort of like judge or jury, but anybody who's purposely trying to pass off counterfeit currency is not going to stick around when rejected. They're going to be like, whoop, let me, you know, try to go across town and try to pass this off somewhere else. But he was just, you know, sort of hanging out, you know, it took the police several minutes to get there. So they arrest him. He's not resisting, even though the initial police report said that he was, and all the subsequent footage that has come out of the arrest shows that he was compliant. They handcuffed him. They asked him to sit on the ground next to the establishment. And then when they were moving him over to their police vehicle, which was like around the corner or something like that, he complied and walked with them. Additional video shows at one point they have him in the police cruiser and it looks like he's being assaulted in the car. The movement from the officer looks like he is pummeling him. Now, the door is blocking a direct view, but you can see the lower half of the officer and one of his arms sort of moving in a way that looks like he is, if he's not striking him, he's doing something forcefully to him. At which point, he's taken out of the car and he's pinned to the ground by one officer, and this officer has his knee in his neck for about 9 to 10 minutes. George Floyd can be heard the entire time saying that he cannot breathe, that he's in pain. He's not doing anything to warrant being pinned in this way because he's already handcuffed. He is already subdued and controlled. There is no need for this level of force. And finally, at the end of the video, you can hear him calling for his mother, and he goes silent.
That's when I can't even think about it.
I think that's what struck a chord with so many people, because this is not the first time we've seen this, but it was not only the fact that he was already subdued, but it was the demeanor of the officer with his knee in his neck, who had his hands in his pockets. And even though bystanders were saying he can't breathe, let him go, there were some off-duty EMTs on the scene saying, he can't breathe, let him go. And the officer, just almost as if he was chilling out at a picnic, just kept his knee on his neck and his own hands in his pocket and looked into the camera with no regard for George Floyd's pleas or the pleas of bystanders. It's almost as if he was saying, I can do whatever the hell I want. There's nothing that you can do, and this man's life doesn't matter. And it said that once the EMTs, the on-duty EMTs who were called, who arrived at the scene, did not administer immediate assistance, they rolled him onto a gurney, put him in the ambulance, and took him away. Anybody who doesn't feel something along these lines, you really have to ask where your humanity is, where your stance on race is, because what we witnessed this week during the course of a pandemic where over 100,000 people have died in this country who didn't necessarily have to, had we taken immediate and appropriate action when this threat was being told to us that it was coming months ahead of time. Even in the course of that, they are still lynching black bodies in this country, and we witnessed it all across social media.
I think let's track this, right? Because there are so many factors that made this into the perfect storm, right? Where I believe that this country is on a, it's on the razor's edge. Like it's all you need to see now is just one more crime to push this. To like one more crime perpetrated by the white power structure to push this whole thing into overdrive and burst this country like a watermelon, you know, just like it just it'll just explode. So tracking it from the beginning, right? The pandemic happens. Donald Trump leaves it up to the states to figure it out because he doesn't, because, you know, there's golf to be had and he doesn't want to bother himself with actual leadership. So that happens. The unemployment rate rises, jobs are furloughed, if not, and businesses tank. Then the response to this is that we start seeing the statistic of people of color, primarily black people in poor neighborhoods. They don't have as much safeguards, as and they die more. They die more in higher
proportions against the population size. Yes.
Yeah. So that happens. So now you add the tension of poverty, the fact that you have no real protection in your neighborhood from COVID-19, you know. And then Ahmaud Arbery happens, Breonna Taylor happens, you know. Like the crackdown on black people continues, like undeterred.
Yep,
it's just like a Wednesday, right? Yep. It's just like every other day, you know. And Ahmaud Arbery, I feel like that was the kickoff, and it because it's like you catch a lynching right in front of your eyes. Like there's no doubt in our minds it's a lynching, and it only gets brought to our attention because the cops involved, I'm sorry, not the cops involved. See how I'm already jumping already to the cops, to the white man who lynched Ahmaud Arbery, these racist bigot assholes. They didn't see jail time, and no litigation was being posed until, you know, the video was made viral.
Yep.
So add that on top, and it just keeps going. It just keeps driving the knife in. And then that leads us pretty much up to now. So now we have an angry population. Who are suffering beneath the pandemic through stress and seeing daily that black bodies are being just murdered, you know, harmed, abused. And, you know, the response to it, people, you know, I keep referring to social media. Some people on the right are they're surprised at the rioting, at the looting. and it's like, really? You didn't see this coming, because you know, how much punishment do you expect the black community to take? How much till people of color say no fucking more, you know? And then, like, to add on top of that, right? To add on top of that, we have what looks to be shady maneuvers, right?
Yes, yes.
Shady maneuvers brought on by police departments, right? In Minneapolis, there was a cop caught on film, recognized by his ex-wife, named Jacob Peterson,
mm-hmm.
who was caught smashing windows of the AutoZone shortly before it got lit up.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And in other cities, you see cops perpetuating violence in plain clothes. But they recognize, you can see that they recognize each other because they're all wearing white armbands.
Mm-hmm.
That color doesn't seem coincidental at all, right?
Just to note, they do change it from day to day, especially since they've been discovered. And I'm sure that they're going to probably try to make their tactics a little more nuanced since we're hip to their game. But that primarily was put in place because years ago, during undercover operations, one undercover officer, I believe, was either beat really badly by fellow officers or killed because they didn't have any way to identify each other. So, so if anything, that's something to look out for, as you mentioned.
Yeah, and even more on top of that, the Proud Boys have reared their stupid fucking little dickheads.
Are you serious?
Yeah, in Portland, Oregon, and are mixing in with the protesters and causing shit in order to devalue the message getting pushed across.
Hmm.
Because, you know, they have nothing better to do than to stir shit up, because nobody will fuck them, and because they're fucking pieces of shit. And you know, it's fucking God, it's fucking aggravating.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that on top. The white supremacists are out in droves, and they're trying to muddy the message that George Floyd and black people should not be murdered. You know, George Floyd is now a representation of how you know, police brutality and the white power structure basically oppresses black people with impunity. So,
well said, well said. I'd also like to add that one of the things that has frustrated those who seek justice is that the officer, and I don't even want to say his name because I've got some pretty strong feelings against him.
Get his name out there because the people need to know who to look out for.
I'll bring up his name a little later. I just want to focus
sure.
on the overarching body of policing, because immediately after that, him and the other three officers who just stood by and watched George Floyd die in the street were fired. The thing about police unions in this country is that even though you're fired from a particular department, you're not necessarily disbarred, if I can use that, if I can borrow that phrase from the legal profession, from actually policing. It is very common for these police officers to move over to a different county, a different town, maybe even a different state. And
like priests.
Yeah, yes, know, priests exactly.
Who commit pedophilia.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. Yeah. They're just shuffled through the network and allowed to exist in another in another municipality. Wow, it's so good that you brought that up, because I've been racking my brain thinking, what other profession allows you to fuck up this bad, allows you to essentially go rogue and put human lives in jeopardy. And I was thinking of doctors and teachers and lawyers, and it's just like, they don't allow you in that profession to do that. You lose your license. You get disbarred. You're not allowed.
Yeah, you're fired. You're fired, basically.
You're utterly fired, and you have a record that follows you and disqualifies you from being in that profession. Yet, with police officers, they make it seem like if you move over to a different county, clean slate. You know, it's like you're starting over from scratch pretty much.
Yeah, you grow a mustache. And, you know, you call yourself Mr. Snrub. Sorry. Never mind.
So exactly. Stupid. No, but it's true. It's true. So this officer, all of these officers are fired. However, we saw in the subsequent days, as the protests became more intense and as they became violent, that this officer's home was surrounded by dozens and dozens of police officers in full riot gear. I mean,
wearing masks.
I don't even think I've seen any state official with this much protection. It was surreal, and it was obscene to watch. And I think that is what really started galvanizing the people in a different way. It's just like, what other profession protects their own in regards to their criminal malfeasance and protects them like they are royalty? Like, we don't.
The mafia.
Exactly. The mafia and other such organizations of ill repute. we don't see fellow teachers running to a pedophile's defense en masse, like this, or any other profession. And to cite your previous example, even when priests are found guilty of pedophilia, you don't see mass marches with other priests in front of churches or their homes saying, you know, let them back in. What they do, they keep it as quiet as possible, and they, you know, they spirit away this priest to, you know, another diocese, or something.
Another parish, yeah.
Yeah, so, but cops, they're just like, what? What do you, this is our job, to brutalize you, to kill you. We didn't do anything wrong. That's exactly what they're saying when they do this.
Yeah, and now another video is making the rounds, which is like a few videos are making the rounds. There's like a super cut out there of ever since the protests happened, the cops are, it's like Trump said, execute order 66.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And the cops are just, they're turning on the public, and there's just brutality in the streets, right?
Mm-hmm.
The cops, there's just a super cut of cops just violently shoving women, just civilians to the ground, just violently shoving them to the ground, trampling protesters on horseback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to protesters that are trying to stop traffic and barricade and block off a police cruiser in New York City, the police cruiser plows into the protesters after they throw garbage. To which how can I say this? It's like on Facebook, there were people I saw on other people's feeds talking about how the protesters got what they deserved with the case of the the police cruiser that ran into the protesters in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And you know, they're saying like shit like, you know, what if that garbage had gone through the police windshield and killed the cops? And I'm like, really? Really? Mm. That's the talking point you're going to go with? And then other people are just like, oh, why the violence? Why the violence? Why can't it be peaceful protests? You know, there's only so many times you can peacefully protest in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And politely ask and try to peacefully ask that people of color and black men and just black people in general stop getting murdered.
Mm-hmm.
There's only so many times you could do that, but it keeps fucking happening.
Exactly. Just to reiterate your point, like those people say, why can't you just peacefully protest? We did. When Colin Kaepernick knelt when he was still in the NFL, that was peaceful protest. When Black Lives Matter marches down the street with picket signs, you get upset because suddenly your traffic commute is slightly delayed. No matter which venue, no matter which form of protest is used, there's always a complaint. There's always a criticism. Peaceful protest is not the be all and end all of getting action. And when you look at the protests of the past, they're always coupled with different means of expressing dissatisfaction, of expressing civil unrest, and that includes violent protests. Violent protests is as American as apple pie. And when people want to harp on the point of property destruction and, you know, oh, this just weakens your cause. Let me tell you something. When it gets to the point of violent protest, it's because this country, from an individual level to a group level, is not listening. When it gets to violent protest, especially for matters of human rights, for the right to live, to not be brutalized, we are past the conversation of whether this is moral or not. This is merely the result of the actions of the state, of the country. It's like you can't complain about a fire raging through your house when somebody has been telling you for the past 10 minutes, hey, the stove has been left unattended and something's burning on it. It's something's burning on the stove. I've just told you three times already, something is burning on the stove. And then when the house burns down, you can't complain like, oh, I don't understand. It's just like the symptom is there. We've been telling you from the very beginning. So like, miss me with this whole, oh, why do we have to do this to our communities? Well, I mean, first of all, that argument in and of itself is placing property over human lives. Like, where is this indignation when a man is dying in the street on camera and not for the first time? You know what this looks like.
Exactly. And our current climate doesn't lend itself well to peaceful protests when people of color are immediately threatened by the commander in chief, who tweets basically like, you know, hey, you know, watch yourself. If the looting starts, we're gonna call in the National Guard, and if the looting starts, the shooting starts. And it's just like really still playing to his base, even during this time, it's like we're all riding in this dumpster fire.
Mm-hmm.
And he just keeps pouring on the kerosene, and we're just careening wildly through the streets, you know?
That's all he knows how to do. I mean, there have been several reports that that have leaked from his administration, that he's livid, that he's essentially losing. He knows that his numbers are completely in the toilet. He knows that his prospects for re-election are getting dimmer and dimmer by the day, which is why he's trying to rush this reopening like so quickly, because the only thing that he's had to hinge his campaign on is the economy, the economy, the economy, which, to be honest, wasn't even a real thing before all this started happening. It was the economy for the rich. You know, we love to talk about the stock market hitting certain numbers, but you know what? Most people's well-being, most people's prosperity doesn't hinge on the stock market. It hinges on whether they have a job, a good job, not just two part-time or three or four part-time jobs that they cobble together to make ends meet. So this pandemic and these uprisings have shown how utterly and completely fragile our economy is, and how much of a lie his booming economy was. So on top of that, he's doing anything that he can to try to make himself look like he's a strong leader to his base. He was using the press conferences during the pandemic as his de facto rallies by constantly contradicting the medical professionals who were trying to spread good and true information to the public. And meanwhile, he responds with, what about disinfectant in the body? What about UV rays in the body? Like, dude, shut up. You're out of your depth already with politics. Don't even go toward medicine, you know? And now this is his new tactic. It's like, oh, unrest in the streets, we know that we can put a black face on it, and if I couple that with violence toward those black people, the base will love it.
Yeah, you know, and I feel like the mayor of Atlanta basically said that you know, his statements about this whole thing, his statements about this whole situation that we're currently in, mm-hmm. it's basically Charlotte. It's a Charlottesville part two. Mm-hmm. I'm inclined to agree, because this is just like, in a time where we need leadership, he's still playing to his base. He's still playing to basically dog whistling to all his white supremacist buddies, and it's just irritating. And I don't want to continue on it too much, because I feel like he doesn't deserve any more attention, any more fucking free press, because that's what he's searching for. That's what he's starved over.
Yeah,
he wants fucking press.
You're right. But just to let our listeners know that, you know, eventually that officer who murdered George Floyd, his name is Derek Chauvin. He was arrested days later, and he has been charged. But I need people to understand that an arrest and a charge is not justice. Not yet. We've seen repeatedly in the history of this country, that it's very difficult to convict a police officer.
Rodney King.
Exactly. Exactly. So we're sort of in a holding period right now, and within that holding period, these protests will continue in some form or another. So I just ask you guys that over the summer, really, really search yourselves in regards to where you stand on this. And if you stand with us, just know that you don't necessarily have to go outside and protest and march. There are other ways to be allies. There are other ways to support. And there are people far more versed on these tactics than us, and we'll do our best to bring you different options over the coming weeks. But just know that, you know, standing together during this cause, no matter how scary it may seem, no matter how blatantly disrespectful and illegal the actions of police officers all over this country are going to become more and more visible, as Pavel mentioned earlier, there's that really illuminating supercut that will show you how blatant the disregard is of police officers in this country toward public safety.
Yeah, because I mean, it's clear where the line is. The line in the sand is that you know, when white people protest about not being able to get a haircut and wanting to reopen their Arby's and getting in the faces of cops and coughing in their faces, mm-hmm. at least pretending to cough in their faces, and you know, all that fucking, you know, MAGA bullshit, it's met with stoic professionalism. You know, they're just like, you know, you have the right to protest, sir, basically, right? When it's when it comes down to black people protesting about you know, the murder of black men and black people just in general, they're met with tear gas canisters to the face. They're met with rubber bullets. They're arresting black reporters, you know, on the street.
Yep.
Like, they're making the difference, the transparency of the racist system at work behind the police, the authoritarian power structure, very evident, right? So, and also two things, you know, for people protesting out there, there's two things for white protesters who are trying to be allies. You know, don't spray paint shit on walls.
Yeah, for sure.
And don't start breaking shit if it's a peaceful protest, because what happens is the media will turn around, the right wing power structure will turn around and blame black people for civil unrest, right?
For sure.
Number two, good advice. Yeah. Number two is that if you find a pair of a giant pile of bricks or other like pieces of plywood that are mysteriously kind of like laying in the street in piles in front of businesses, it's a trap.
Yep.
These are traps set by, I'm not going to say cops, could be white supremacists. It's hard to decipher between them. But needless to say is that if you find these things in your path, it's a trap. Mm-hmm. They're trying to make you throw a brick through a window so it looks like you're the one causing the violence.
Yep.
Hey, you know, who knows how those bricks got there? So, yeah. And, you know, if you see somebody who you suspect is a white supremacist among the ranks or is a cop, point him out.
Yep.
Point him out.
Yep.
And these are dangerous times because the president is going to be trying to put across that Antifa is a terrorist organization because he wants to silence his detractors.
Mm-hmm.
Let him try. Let him fucking try. Because Antifa doesn't have a fucking it's not an organization, you know. These are people who are anti-fascists. We're against fascism.
Mm-hmm.
So this is his Patriot Act move.
Yep.
Right now.
Yep.
And yeah, I'm sorry. I would go on further, but
No, it's there's so much. And in the coming weeks, we're definitely going to bring you even more. But listeners, thank you so much for being with us for this episode. We're going to try to bring you something lighter next week if circumstances permit. But in the meantime, be safe out there, be informed, and you know, just support your communities, your friends, your family, and keep your eyes open for justice.
Yeah, and from both of us here, I'm Pablo Morales Martinez,
and I'm Ernesto Mancibo,
and together we are the Robots Versus Taxes program.
On Radio Free Brooklyn.
Yeah. Sorry, I almost stepped over your line.
No, it's fine.
Ernesto, you're gonna play a clip for us?
Yeah, absolutely. A very powerful message in lieu of our song of the week from Miss Tamika Mallory, who is one of the leading organizers of the 2017 Women's March, speaking on the unrest and protests of this day. So a word from Tamika.
This is a coordinated activity happening across this nation. And so we are in a state of emergency. Black people are dying in a state of emergency. Say that, sir. We cannot look at this as an isolated incident. The reason why buildings are burning are not just for our brother George Floyd. They're burning down because people here in Minnesota are saying to people in New York, to people in California, to people in Memphis, to people all across this nation, enough is enough. Yeah. And we are not responsible for the mental illness that has been inflicted upon our people by the American government, institutions, and those people who are in positions of power. I don't give a damn if they burn down Target. Because Target should be on the streets with us calling for the justice that our people deserve. Talk about it, Tamika. Where was AutoZone at the time when Philando Castile was shot in a car, which is what they actually represent? Where were they? So if you are not coming to the people's defense,
that's right,
then don't challenge us when young people and other people who are frustrated and instigated by the people you pay, you are paying instigators to be among our people out there throwing rocks, breaking windows, and burning down buildings. And so young people are responding to that. They are enraged, and there's an easy way to stop it. Mm-hmm. Arrest the cops. Right. Charge the cops. Right. Charge all the cops. Right. Not just some of them. Not just here in Minneapolis. Charge them in every city across America where our people are being murdered. Charge them everywhere. That's the bottom line. Charge the cops. Do your job. Do what you say this country is supposed to be about, the land of the free for all. It has not been free for black people, and we are tired. Don't talk to us about looting. Y'all are the looters. America has looted black people. America looted the Native Americans when they first came here. So looting is what you do. We learned it from you. We learned violence from you. We learned violence from you. The violence was what we learned from you. So if you want us to do better, then damn it, you do better.
Yes, Tamika.
You ready?